I'd like to invite your attention to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22. Now we're going to go very deep this morning. And you just listen with a believing heart. And we're going to be very scriptural. And I trust it will stimulate the desire in your heart to dig deeper in the word and to get in the spirit of revelation. John was in the spirit, and then he began to receive the revelations. The prophet said if John had to be in the spirit to receive those revelations, how can we understand them if we don't get in the same spirit? And John was not in his own spirit. He was in the spirit of the Lord. And he was transported into a future day. And the Bible says he was in the Lord's day. And in that day he saw Jesus with a white wig. One like the Son of Man. Not Son of God or Son of David. One like the Son of Man. He was judged between his priesthood and his kingship. Then it means there was a space of time somewhere between the church age and the millennium. And we know the seven church ages have run out. And the millennium is being ushered in. And for seven church ages, there was no age that ever saw him with a white wig. But in this age, we have seen him with a white wig. We are the only church age who have seen him with a white wig. So we realize John was transported into this day. Because this is the day when the book of Revelation, that book of symbols, that book of prophecy for the last days is being made manifest. Amen. Because the first 2-3 chapters of Revelation was the seven church ages. It covered a period of 2,000 years. And from Revelation 3:14, from the seven church age to Revelation 20 to the millennium is one generation. So that means almost the entire book of Revelation is coming to pass in this generation. Sometimes we have many things in the future, but in preaching this message this morning, I trust it will help us to see that all scripture is already in the process of fulfillment. After this Elijah who has come, the earth is to be burned with fire. After the Son of Man was revealed to Abraham, the Gentile world was burned with fire. That is this generation. The people we see in the streets, the children we see in the schools, the armies that is on the earth, the government that control the nations, this generation is the one that is to be burnt. And the righteous in this hour, who like Noah went into the ark, went above the judgment, came back into the new earth. After that generation was destroyed. So we will walk out in the ashes of the wicked. And go into the millennium. So when we think of it in that manner, we realize it's an hour where we need divine revelation. We need to be in the Spirit. And may God help us as we look at His Word today. 1 Kings chapter 22. There was many wars and rumors of wars. But there was three great wars in the book of Kings. The first war is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 20 from verse 1 to 21. The second war was recorded in 1 Kings 20 from verses 22 to 30. And the third war was recorded in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 29 to 36. I say it like that, so in presenting my thought, you can be able to follow. Because the portion we are reading is between the second war and the third war. And that is written specifically like that in the Bible. And may God help us to see. Because since the seven seals was open, the seven seals is not Revelation 6. Sometimes, you know, we think of it in that manner. Well, the first seal is deception. The white horse. The second seal, the red horse, is wars and rumors of wars. And we only think about the seven church ages. When the seals are open, the entire book is open. And the first seal don't begin in Revelation 6. It begins in Genesis, and it goes all the way to Revelation. Because the seals is the full, complete revelation of Jesus Christ. And those things in the book of Revelation, it begins in Genesis, comes all the way down to the Old Testament, goes over into the New Testament, ends up in the book of Revelation. And because we are living in the book of Revelation, then those things are happening in the earth around us today. So if we don't see it from Genesis, coming all the way down to the Bible, out in the book of Revelation, and then don't see it around us happening in the earth today, we have missed the revelation. The revelation will not make us look back at some historical thing 2,000 years ago. The revelation will wake us up to see the hour we are living in. And to see it happening in the earth in this present time. So let us read this portion between the second war and the third war. It It was in the days after Elijah's prophecy. Amen. Because in 1 Kings 17:21, we see the ministry of Elijah bringing judgment on Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel was in a union representing church and state, religion and politics. And God sent a prophet with a message. And that message called out a 7,000. Amen. And this was the hour of the showdown. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. A little interval where they were saying peace, peace. A little interval where they were saying peace, peace. Before war started up in the earth again. Amen. And it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, "Know you that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we are still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria?" There was a dispute over territory. Amen. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, "Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead?" These are two kings. Ahab was king over Israel. Jehoshaphat was king over Judah. United Nations. Amen. In the days after Elijah's prophecy, before the third war started up in the earth. Amen. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses." And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." But who had the word of the Lord in that day? Look where his inspiration is taking him. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" They didn't go to the believers of Elijah's message. They went to the organized churches. And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?" And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord." "But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." Some people only like to get blessed. They don't like correction. And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Hasten to bring here Micaiah the son of Imlah." And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the king of Judah sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a threshing floor. At the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Great big national convention going on. And Zedekiah the son of Chenaanah made two horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with thee shall thou push the Syrians, and thou have until thou have consumed them. But the Lord didn't say thus. Amen. And all the prophets prophesied, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into thine hand. And look at this church politics here now. Some political pressure on a true servant of God. And a messenger who was gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophet declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Now watch that word mouth. It's important to us. Because where is the true teaching coming from? A mouth. Where is the false teaching coming from? A mouth. Where did them seven thunders come from? A mouth. Where did them three unclean spirits come from? A mouth. Amen. Where did the third pole come from? A mouth. That's why Isaiah had to be cleansed. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord said unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. But he said it mockingly, because you know the king wanted to hear that. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? You see, Ahab knew he was mocking him. But here comes the true vision now. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master, let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did not I tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. Now And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, another said on that manner. And there came forth his spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, by what means? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord had put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord had spoken evil concerning thee. Watch where them demons is loose. In the ecclesiastical realm. It didn't go in the political realm with the kings of the earth. It didn't go with the armies. It went into the religious realm. It went into them false prophets who had rejected Elijah's message. Amen. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord for me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon the governor and to Joash the king's son. And thus said the king, put this fellow in prison. And feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. But when they begin to say peace, sudden destruction. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord had not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robe. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains who had ruled over the chariot, saying, fight neither with small nor great, except only with the king of Israel. Now I hope you understand in the text. Micaiah had seen a vision. God was saying Ahab must fall at Ramoth Gilead. That is happening in heaven. Then a lying spirit goes in the mouth of the prophets. Then they bless a man who was cursed by a vindicated prophet. Them nations unite and go up to the battle. But the people they're going to fight with, the king command all his generals. He says, make sure you fight with the king of Israel. God was working in every realm. God was using the demon spirits to go into the church, for the church to deceive the kings and their armies. And God was letting the Syrians, which was a tool in the hand of God, to bring to pass the word of a prophet who had prophesied judgment upon Ahab. Amen. Verse 33. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel that they turned back from pursuing him. You see how Jehoshaphat get himself in trouble? He joined up with a man who was cursed. He even had a warning. But he didn't take heed. Amen. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. Even though he had on all his armor, it went right between the joints of his armor. God's word will come to pass regardless. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out to the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was held up in his chariot against. Against the Syrians, and died at evening, and the blood ran out of the wound in the midst of the chariot. When did he die? At evening time. And there went a proclamation to the host about the going down of the sun. Saying, every man to his chariot and every man to his own country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up the blood, and they washed his armor according to the word of the Lord which he spoke. Let us pray. Almighty God, speak to our hearts now. Let that word be made so plain that even the least of us can have a clear understanding. We are asking not that we might be filled with knowledge, but that we might understand the hour better, that we might know how the scripture has been fulfilled, that we might know how to please you in this day. May you grant it, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I want to take for a title, Micaiah's Seventh Seal Vision. And I trust by the time we are through, you will understand why I call it a seventh seal vision. It was God who opened up a revelation.
It was God who dropped it down among the believers who Elijah had called out in that day.
It was God who saw it necessary that his called out people will not be left without understanding in that hour when the words of that vindicated prophet was now coming to pass. Amen. They had waited many years after the going of that prophet. It took quite some time for Ahab and Jehoshaphat to get real close and begin to fellowship together. There were many events that transpired. It took a while for those who was called out by the prophet's message after seeing that great prophet coming on the scene. In that hour when Ahab and Jezebel was united and how he was challenged by them false prophets, but how he repaired the altar, how he brought the people back to the true worship of God. He had such a hard time in the days of his ministry. He cried many times before God. In 1 Kings 19, we see when the pressure of that Jezebel system was coming down on Elijah. He went out in the woods while all them other prophets was eating at Jezebel's stable, saying, "Oh Elijah, we had a great spiritual meeting with Jezebel." But Elijah was seeing how she was seducing the servants of God and teaching them false things, how she was manipulating them with her money, how she was killing many of them spiritually and politically, how she was working behind the scenes of the government, bewitching the nation, manipulating the king. Elijah understood it all. He saw Zedekiah, the great chief prophet, recognized by the kings of the earth. Ahab and them had bowed down to Zedekiah. They would go all the way to the Vatican to get his blessing. They would feel blessed when he prophesied over them. Yet they never recognized Elijah. They called him a fanatic because he wasn't part of the organization. And he would go out in the woods and cry. One time he was so broken. He said, "Lord, they have forsaken me. I'm the only one that is left." He was preaching present stage of my ministry. "All man has forsaken me." Amen. But God gave Elijah a preview of the bride. God opened up a vision. Say, "You are not the only one, Elijah. There is 7,000 names who have not bowed unto Jezebel." Amen. It was a great hour. It was a time when the prophet was standing with conviction. Because that nation at one time was a great blessed nation. They had great kings like David and Solomon. But the nation had deteriorated with all that dirty politics, with that greed for power and money, to extend the influence. It began to become corrupted. Until finally you had an Ahab on the throne who married into paganism. Amen. And it brought it right into the nation. It was a political maneuver. Because Ahab's kingdom was fallen. And he needed the wealth of Jezebel to secure his kingdom. So he was sacrificing his nation. And the people of God, by going and marry into this Jezebel system. And when Jezebel came into Israel, she did not come in through the spiritual channels ordained for Gentile admission. In the economy of God, Gentiles had come into Israel before. Rahab had come into Israel. She was a Gentile. Even through Rahab came the bloodline. Through which Messiah came. Amen. But Rahab came into Israel through the ordained channel for Gentile admission.
She came into the ordained channel for Gentile admission.
How did she come in? She received the messenger of the two spies. She obeyed the word. She got under the token. Amen. She believed Joshua's commission. And she did not perish with all the rest. Ruth was also a channel, was also a Gentile who came into Israel. How did she come in? She says, she told Naomi, "Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Entreat me not to leave thee. Where you die, will I die. Where you are buried, will I be buried." She didn't go back to her gods. She accepted the God of Israel. And she came in. And she too had the bloodline passing through her. Through the Messiah lineage. Because Jesus the Messiah was traced through them Gentiles. He was traced through Ruth and Rahab. But this Jezebel, she never became an Israelite. She never accepted the God of Israel. She never accepted the teachings of that prophet. But rather she came with the intentions to destroy the nation, to set up her religion. And she was manipulating the political machinery from behind the scenes. She began to kill the prophets. She began to build her pagan shrines all over the country. Why did God put that story in the Bible? If God didn't put that story in the Bible, We would never been able to understand this hour we are living in. Because in America, the same history was repeating itself in this generation. And it was promised in the Bible that God is going to send the spirit of Elijah again in the last days. And the God who had sent the prophet revealed to the prophet that Israel history is repeating itself again in this generation. And so we see that Catholic Church rising up. That Jezebel system, claiming to be a Christian, marrying in the politics, using the wealth and the power to manipulate the kings of the earth. Amen. Killing out the true prophets of God. But there was one named Elijah that she could not touch. He was sent by God. And then Elijah came. He repaired the altar, the evening sacrifice. He challenged the false prophets. Hallelujah! God vindicated him. He raised the dead. He had power over the elements. He could control the weather. Hallelujah! Have we seen that kind of prophet? Have we recognized that anointing came in the last days? Have we seen such a ministry? Amen! Because that same history was repeating itself again. Amen! And we find out in the ministry of Elijah, there were some very evil things happening in the earth. Very evil political ambitions. Amen. That church and state. Jezebel and Ahab. They had a conspiracy. A Vatican-Washington alliance. Amen. And that Jezebel behind the scenes, working behind the kings of the earth, working behind that nation to achieve her political ambitions. You say you're trying to make that more than it really is. You might say you're trying to make that more than it really is. Then if that is so, why did God in the New Testament call the Catholic Church that woman Jezebel? In Revelation chapter 2, in the Thyatiran church age, what was the age before Thyatira? Was it Pergamos? What does Pergamos mean? Does it mean thoroughly married? Was it church and state being married? In the Pergamos age? Did the church use the power of the state to kill all the Christians? When Ahab and Jezebel came together, what did she do? She became drunk with the blood of God's prophets. Amen! She began to spread her influence everywhere. Then after the Pergamos age, Thyatira is dominant female. Amen! That woman who seduces the prophets of God, causing them to eat things sacrificed unto idols, giving them all a pagan religion. Amen. With a cup. Drunken in the kings of the earth with the wine of a fornication. That iron begin to get into the 10 toes. Amen. In Pergamos, the pagan Rome was dying. But it rose back up as ecclesiastical Rome. As papal Rome. And she have been more successful in her conquest as a religious empire than a political empire. Amen. And so we see today, she's the most powerful nation on the earth. You say nation? She has her own ambassadors. She's a nation in a nation. Amen. All them Caesars, which was political kings, became popes, spiritual kings. Amen. And every one of those kings of the earth bowed to that king with a triple crown. Because that triple crown says he has jurisdiction over heaven, earth, and purgatory. Who has the wealth of the world today? That same Jezebel. So here in the book of Kings, God is showing us how this woman Jezebel was really a type of this evil system that is working behind the scenes, manipulating the kings of the earth. Amen. And here we see in the Bible, in the time of Elijah the prophet, between the second war and the third war, in the book of Revelation, there are three great wars. Revelation 8:13, just before the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets, the first four trumpets. Don't let terminology confuse you. Trumpets only mean political disturbance. Just like seal mean religious disturbance. Amen. And those first four trumpets show how the earth is being destroyed. The earth, the sea, the atmosphere, the rivers and the lakes. But then it says, whoa, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth. World War I, World War II, and World War III. But we find that between the sixth trumpet, the second war, and the seventh trumpet, the third war, Elijah the prophet is to come on the scene. Revelation 10:7. When was Brother Branham commissioned to go around the world? Was it after World War II? Amen. When Israel was in the homeland? What caused Israel to go back in the homeland? Was it them wars? Persecution? Political disturbance, national force drove Israel in the homeland.
Yeah.
Amen. And the same day the 6-point star David appeared over Palestine.
The same day the 6-point star David appeared.
The angel of the Lord appeared in Green Mills, Indiana. Amen. In a cave. And a man walked out a ball of fire. A man about 200 pounds. With an olive complexion. Who was that man? Amen. Glory. That was the same man who was in the pillar of fire talking to Moses. That was the same man in the pillar of fire who was talking to Paul. Hallelujah. He said, I am sent from the presence of God. So it can't be that person. Jesus said, as your Father sent me. Hallelujah. Was Jesus the Father and the Father one? Or was there two? Amen. Glory. How does the Father send him? The Father went in him. Glory. And so we see that same angel appearing to him and say, go around the world now. When was it? After World War II. Before World War III. Amen. What time are we living in? In the days after Elijah's prophecy. Who's ruling now? Jezebel. Amen. Look at them nations coming together. And there's going to be another war. Ahab had come out victorious in the first two wars. The United States. But Ahab was destroyed in the third war. Why? He was cursed by a prophet. They rejected the message of a prophet. Hallelujah! Glory! And that same prophet, in that seventh vision, he's actually America destroyed. The enemy have a missile. One of these is a fanatic will press the button. They will loose that missile and will strike Ahab regardless of how much defenses he has. The Bible says a man pull a boat of venture and a missile was loose. But that missile was guided to a target. It was flying through the air coming. It was heading straight to its target. No matter how much fortifications air was behind, it penetrated his defense system. And he was mortally wounded. Hallelujah! Because a prophet had spoken judgment upon him. Glory! Amen. And so we see that in that third war, Ahab was cursed by the prophet, was destroyed. And that same prophet who had prophesied judgment upon America, upon Ahab, also says the Vatican will be blown off the map. Amen. Because Elijah put judgment on Jezebel also. Is that the Bible? Amen. So we see it in the natural form, and we see it in the spiritual form. And what time was it? Evening time. Hallelujah! Glory is when it's taking place. And here we see in the Bible It was in the evening time. Amen. There's a great ecumenical move. Ahab and Jehoshaphat was getting together. Amen. They were all speaking about one love. Ahab was calling them separated brethren. But Jehoshaphat was a victim of a scheme. He hadn't listened too carefully to what Elijah was saying all the time. If Elijah's message had filtered his thinking, he will not have come into that false union. Amen. But Jehoshaphat was looking at the lesser of two evils. Whether he would stand by himself and let the Syrians maybe just attack him, or he says, well, in unity there is strength. So if we are united, we can stand off the threat of the Syrians. Amen. And he says, I'd rather stand with my backslidden brother than stand with these atheists. Amen. He had failed to see the purple curtain. He was fearing the iron curtain. He was watching that power rising up. Who had conquered all that territory after World War II? Amen. But now they're losing the territory. They were desperate. Them communists. Amen. But if Jehoshaphat was looking at Jezebel behind Ahab, and realized she was the one that was controlling the nation, he would not have been seduced into that ecumenical move. They looked like they were united. They were all speaking with one mouth. They were all manifesting a lot of emotion. They were very charismatic, manifesting all the gifts, saying, thus said the Lord, but it was all inspired of the devil. Hallelujah! It was all happening. But here the hour had come. The prophecy of that prophet who had put judgment on Ahab and who had put judgment on Jezebel. The hour had come. God was fixing to fulfill the spoken words of his prophet. And when the prophet's prophecy was about to be made manifest in the earth among the elected who had believed the prophet's message, a heavenly vision opened up. Glory! And Micaiah says, I saw heaven opened. I saw hell opened. And I saw what is happening on the earth. It's being influenced from two realms.
Amen.
To the elect who had believed Elijah's message. A revelation. An open vision. To see how the words of the prophet was coming to pass. Scripture was being fulfilled with such rapidity. Only the believers of that message could recognize how it was taking place. Because the rest of the people were focused in another direction. They was made to see the king in a real great way. But believers of the prophet message knew he was doomed to destruction. Amen. They knew the only thing that God was going to honor was the word of his prophet. So as we follow those events in a type, how it unfolded from the time of Elijah between World War II and World War III, right down to the hour of persecution. Did you notice what happened? When Micaiah rose up and spoke against that system, what happened? They brought a persecution upon him and they threw him in prison. What for? His message. But he was only saying what Elijah had said. Three powers were united. Here was Ahab and Jehoshaphat. What did they represent? The political realm. The kings of the earth. The kings of the earth, the political realm. Amen. Here was Zedekiah and his prophets. What did they represent? The religious realm. Amen. And here was demon powers. Aligned spirit coming out. Uniting religion and politics. And in that hour, Micaiah began to see religion, Ahab and Zedekiah and his prophets, politics, Ahab and Jehoshaphat, and that demon spirit all being united together. Amen. And where were they taking the people? To the battle at the going down of the sun, where they was going to be slaughtered and destroyed. Because God had spoken to Elijah that the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field was going to devour them. Hallelujah! That was God's judgment. Amen. And Micaiah was seeing that coming to pass in the days after Elijah's prophecy, when them three powers was being united together. Amen. And so we see, what was the great evil thing that Ahab and Jezebel was conspiring to do in that hour? They was breaking nations one by one and bringing them under their control. Look how it was uncovered recently. The Caribbean Time Magazine called the Holy Alliance. The Holy, Holy Alliance. How President Reagan, when he was president, he and Pope John Paul II, Vatican and the Washington united together to take Poland away from the communists and bring it under the control. Amen. It made news around the world. It only give an insight in one instance, in one nation, what has been going on between World War II and World War III. How Ahab is being used by Jezebel. Look what has happened in Israel recently. How they broke the power of President Shamir, who was fighting and resisting to give up that land. And now what is happening? Israel wants to talk peace with the Arabs and give up the land back to the Arabs. Amen. What is taking place? In the Bible, we see Naboth had a vineyard. And Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. And Naboth's vineyard was the inheritance of his fathers. And Ahab wanted to offer him economic aid and money. To take away his vineyard. Because Ahab wanted to be more strategically placed. Because Naboth have a lot of rich neighbors. Rich neighbors. All them Arabs. All them nobles and elders who have a lot of resources. All that oil that it takes to run this industrial world. Built by this Western civilization. And America wanted that position. And have been putting pressure on Israel to give up the land. Amen. Because they want favor with the Arabs. They want to have control in the region. Look how they've been using their money in the last Gulf War. They forgive Egypt the debt. They forgive Syria the debt. Trying to buy friendship with money. They begin to divide the Arab world. Why? They're interested in that oil. Because Jezebel has a plan to take over the whole world. To control all trade and commerce. And she's using the strength and power of Ahab and his armies to achieve her political ambitions. But Elijah the prophet, who had the word of the Lord, who had the revelation of those seven seals, was able to uncover the scheme of the devil. He said, that's the reason he's howling. Because scheme has been uncovered. Hallelujah. He preached Jezebel religion. Hybrid religion. Why am I against organized religion? Hallelujah. He was blasting forth. Exposing them things. Showing the great scheme. How she captured the wealth of the world. How she taken over the country. How she broke the Protestant powers. How she's uniting them to the ecumenical move. Elijah revealed it all. Hallelujah! And in that very hour, those who had believed Elijah's message, those who had followed Elijah's teaching, they knew that it was being revealed to him by God. And they never got another revelation about Jezebel? To see her different the way Elijah said she was? No matter what she said, they knew Elijah revealed her. They never had second thoughts about Zedekiah and his prophets. They saw them just the way Elijah revealed them. Amen. And in that hour, Ahab and Jezebel, they had a scheme. Because Naboth began to frustrate Ahab. Ahab found a lot of resistance in Naboth. He couldn't buy him out. He couldn't press him enough to manipulate him. Amen. So they had to find a way to kill him. And he has killed him politically today. They have all kind of kills. You could kill somebody economically, politically, spiritually. Amen. And under Prime Minister Begin and Prime Minister Shamir, Israel held on to the land that they won in the Six-Day War. And they would not give it up. Even back in the time of President Carter of the United States, he was trying to put pressure on Prime Minister Begin to give up the land. And Prime Minister and President Carter used to claim to be a born-again Christian. And one day in the White House in Washington, the Prime Minister of Israel took the President's Bible from off the table. He said, Mr. President, you say you are a born-again Christian. And you believe this Bible is the word of God. He opened the Bible and he showed him where God gave Israel that inheritance. For an everlasting possession. He said, how do you want me to give up the inheritance of my fathers? God give us that land. Amen. But look what is happening today. Amen. So we see that subtle move. Jezebel came in the picture. What did she do? She wrote letters in Ahab's name. When you go home, read it in 1 Kings 21. Amen. She sealed it with Ahab's seal. It was the seal of the United States. It was in the name of the president, the most powerful office in the world. And she tell them how to destroy Naboth. And they destroyed Naboth. And it looked like Jezebel and Ahab had nothing to do with it. When the news was reported through the media, they say, well, it's a very explosive region. Always have a lot of conflict. I guess he just had to run out of luck sometime. But everything was politically orchestrated. Amen. And when he went down to possess the land, here came Elijah walking out. God had revealed to Elijah what he was doing. And Elijah put judgment upon Ahab. And he put judgment upon Jezebel. Amen. Let's turn in the Bible to Revelation chapter 6. Let's see these things in the last days. Amen. Let's see if that is in the New Testament. Let's see if we are correctly applying that to this hour. Let's see if it has any reference to this time we are living in. Let's see if the elected was promised divine revelation. And we need it. And we need it. Especially in the hour when the prophet is coming to pass. Let's see Micaiah 7 seal vision. Micaiah knew Elijah was the messenger of that age. Elijah was the messenger of that age. Do you know Elijah was the messenger of this age? Amen. Revelation 6, verse 7 and 8. The fourth seal. The first seal, Paul, Irenaeus, and Martin. First three church ages. That Antichrist spirit was crowned. When was it crowned? At Nicaea, Rome. Amen. When church and state came together and they put all that authority on a man with a false doctrine. Then the second seal, the Thyatiran age, where the church used the power of the state, killed 68 million Christians, war and bloodshed. The third seal, the reformer age, spirit of man, coming with wisdom, the battle at false teaching, holding back the spiritual truth from the people, while Rome was capturing the wealth of the world, a measure of wheat for a penny and a measure of barley. And that spirit of man represented the reformers. Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. Reformer ages. Then the fourth seal comes at the end of the Pentecostal age. At the end of the Reformer age. The flying eagle. Prophetic age. Amen. So that means that this seal applies to this hour. After the Pentecostal age. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature say, come and see. I look and behold a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed him. Hell was veiled in the people's flesh in this age. Right there is the prophecy of hell being created on the earth. Amen. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. What was that pale horse? The white, red, and black horses united together. Religion, politics, and demon power When would they be united? In the time of the prophecy of that flying eagle. What did Micaiah see? Religion, politics, and demon power uniting in that eagle age. So did Micaiah see them seals? Did Micaiah see them seals open? He saw it in his vision. Jehoshaphat and Ahab, politics, Zedekiah and his prophets, religion, and then demon powers. Amen. All united together. Amen. So he saw them sealed. He knew what age he was living in, because he knew Elijah was the prophet messenger of that age. Let's look at Revelation 9. And the fifth angel sung, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them were given power, like as the scorpions of the earth have power. What were those locusts? On the message feast of the trumpets, Elijah said, supernatural devils. Unseen to the eye. Amen. And in that sixth trumpet, verse 13, it says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates, and though the four angels were loosed up, who were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay the third part of the earth. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. I am just picking parts of those trumpets, but when you read them, you will see that those same locusts was those same horsemen, and that bottomless pit in that Euphrates River is where the very beast with the triple crown comes out of. Is that Roman system, that Jezebel system? Because Babylon was built on the Euphrates River. How did Babylon fall? In the Old Testament, the kings of the east diverted the riverbed, and the Euphrates River was dry, and it made a way for the kings of the east to come and destroy Babylon. How did Babylon fall in the New Testament? The Euphrates River is going to be dry. Not natural Euphrates, because Babylon is a mystery Babylon today.
Euphrates River, it identifies the presence of Babylon. God is showing us it's a Roman spirit that was behind the walls. Babylon presence is between them trumpets. When they were killing out them Jews, who killed them Jews? Was a Roman spirit loose upon the dictators. Hitler and Eichmann and them. Because they were the kings who had given the strength and the power to the beast. There was a political arm of the Vatican. Amen. So we see that them unclean spirits, supernatural devils, that pit was open. And they was coming out. In the first two wars, they was loose in the political realm. But between the second war and the third war, it is being loosed now in the ecclesiastical realm. Many may not understand it, but I believe the ministers know what I'm talking about. They can make it plainer to you. Amen. And let's take the Revelation 16. I'm just hitting the high spots of it, giving you enough that you can put it together for yourself. Revelation 16:12. You notice that's the sixth vial. And Revelation 16:17-21 is the seventh vial. But look what is happening between the sixth and seventh vial. And I, verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Where did it come out from? The mouth of them false prophets. And they are the spirits of devils working miracles that go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. To gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. The beast, the dragon, and the false prophet. Religion. Spirit of devils. Demon powers. And the kings of the earth. Political powers. Gathering them for what? That great battle of God Almighty. Did Micaiah see that? Did he see them lying spirits come out of them false prophet mouth? Did he see them gathering the kings of the earth? Did he see them being taken to the battle? Well, then he saw them vials. He saw the seals. He saw the trumpets. He saw the vials. It was all happening in the days after Elijah. In that eagle age. In that seventh age. Is that right? Amen. It was all happening together. One was the political realm. One was the realm of demon power. One was the religious realm. Micaiah was in the spiritual realm. He even saw what was going on in heaven. Heaven was open. Hell was open. And them spirits influencing people in the stream of humans.
Amen. Let's turn to Revelation 19 and close. Last scripture. Verse 17. This is the time of the Battle of Armageddon. World War III. Amen. The Third War. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Not breakfast and not lunch, supper. Evening time. Supper time. Amen. That they may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit in them and the flesh of all men, both bond and free, both small and great. And I saw the beast, religious power, and the kings of the earth, political power, and the armies, devils incarnate, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Amen. And so we see them three powers brought to that third war where they was destroyed in the evening time. It was a great uniting time. Religion, politics, and demon power was uniting. Ahab and Jehoshaphat was uniting. The armies were uniting. But there was another uniting. The bride was uniting with the word. But Abraham said, when Micaiah got his vision, he checked it back with the prophet before him, who was Elijah, and he saw it fitted into what Elijah had said. Amen. So here we see that Micaiah, out of his mouth, was coming them seven spirits, seven thunders, out of the mouth of that false prophet, was coming three unclean spirits like frogs. One is taking them back to Rome, but those seven thunders is taking the bride back to Eden. All was happening at the same time. All was in the process of fulfillment. It was a tremendous time. Can we see that in this hour, without a seventh seal vision, without a seventh seal vision, if God didn't open up that vision to the elected seed, they would have never known what was happening. But because of what the prophet Elijah had spoken, in the hour when the words of the prophet was coming to pass, God began to reveal. God saw it was necessary to open to the elected who was waiting in that hour. Amen. When them three powers came together, what did they do to the bride? That little 7,000. It brought a persecution upon them. It shut up Micaiah and them in prison. For they had believed the message of the prophet. What about you today? Are you being pressured? Are you being pressured In the all kind of false unions? Are you one who quick to compromise and say what the majority is saying? Or do you want to be a real Micaiah? Amen. Now you will say what Elijah said. Even though they have to throw you in prison for it. Even though them three powers united come and bring a squeeze upon you. Look what that spirit did when it came among that group. It gave them a lot of emotion. It made them teach things contrary to what Elijah said. They deceived people who never compared their prophecy with the word of Elijah the prophet. How many have been deceived today? Claiming to be in this message, following all kind of unscriptural dreams, following all kind of men's ideas, speaking and teaching things contrary to what the prophet said before. Look at the identification of the true ministry in this hour. They will check their vision with what the prophet said. And only then will they speak and say what Elijah said. Amen. They have become the final voice. In that hour when them three powers is bringing a persecution, it was not Elijah the prophet speaking. It was those who had believed Elijah's message. Those whose heart was turned back. The spirit and the bride were saying the same thing that the spirit had said to the prophet. That was their final voice. Elijah came with a shout, but the voice of the archangel in that hour of the persecution, when the three powers brought a squeeze upon the elect, before that hour came, the vision broke from heaven. An anointing was released upon the people, because when the enemy came like a flood, God was raising up a standard. Because when the enemy came like a flood. They had a heavenly vision. And they was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Amen. It was a seventh seal vision. It showed them what was happening in the political realm. What was happening in the spiritual realm. What was happening in the religious realm. How it was all working together in that very hour. He saw the seals. He saw the trumpets. He saw the vials. He had those thunders. Amen. And he could stand in that hour. How many would like to be a Micaiah today? Say, Lord, make me a real Micaiah. Let me stand for this message. If it's going to cost me my life, let me be a prisoner to the word of the prophet. Let us stand to our feet. Let us lift our hand unto him. Let us come to a real consecration. We don't want to be playing church. The hour is too serious. Can we see how these symbols in the book of Revelation becomes plain? How it slides into the book of Kings and becomes plain unto us that we can see the hour, that we can see how late it is. Almighty God, I pray today, knowing that many of these things might be hard to understand, the unstable might wrestle with it unto their own destruction. But I pray, dear God, that these among them who are establishing the word, who have an insight into what was spoken by the prophet, We'll take it and break it down, Lord. That, dear God, the people will understand and that they will see how far advanced these prophetic revelations that is in symbol form in the book of Revelation, how all these things are already in the process of fulfillment. It is the sovereign grace of God, the Holy Spirit, coming back around a second time in this season when we have need of it, Lord, that we will not be left without understanding in the hour when you are bringing to pass the words that were spoken by your prophet. Lord, that we might be prepared, that we might be made ready, that we might be under expectations, that we might know the lateness of the hour, and that we might come into a full surrender to the revealed will of God. I pray, dear God, that you would pour out your spirit, Lord, that heavenly vision will break to every Micaiah, that they will teach the little group, Lord, oh God, that they'll be so anointed, that there'll be a revival, there'll be a standard raised up in the local churches, Almighty God, and see the scriptures being fulfilled with such rapidity, Lord, the Lord will step to the forefront like Micaiah did, and will reiterate the words of the prophet. May you grant it, Lord. Anoint your people. May we consecrate our lives today as we see the reality of these things being revealed by the Holy Spirit, being placed in the Word, being rightly divided, that it can open a channel for us to follow under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Grant it, Lord. We dedicate our lives to you. Make us Micaiahs. Give us that seventh seal vision. Give us that courage. Give us that conviction. May we not be pressured into things, but may we stand true to the Word. Even though we have to die for it, Lord, let us stand in this hour in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray and we ask you, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God, we should bless you as attending service by.
With our heads bowed down, still in that reverence, you could just pick up the message to the Laodicean church age. Then you start reading the seven visions. And if it doesn't take the Holy Ghost, you may not really see that seventh vision in the Word. But you see, there was nothing the prophet ever said or prophesied that is not covered up in the Word. Why don't you see that Ahab and see that Jezebel? How they are uniting together? What are they trying to do, church and state? They are trying just to jeopardize the work of God. And the only thing is, in the end of it, there's going to be a false union of religions that is going to deceive the kings of this world. And it will be exactly those maneuvers that are going to drive this world into the third world war. It's a deep thing, and I was just trying to take it in. That's why sometimes I was failing to get the other thing which is being said, because I was trying to position the one that had come before. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message. Lord, it has been so plain to us. Lord, we remember how we covered about Naboth and the vineyard. And Lord, you brought your servant now to finish it up in the present time. Lord, now we see Naboth has been murdered. politically, Lord, and Heavenly Father, that Jezebel system is taking up the land. Lord, Israel has been given the land of its fathers, but because Naboth is dead, then Ahab can strike the land. Lord, help us. Because when that one happens, then we know the hour is late. Lord Jesus, something is going to be done. And if it ever to be done, Lord, this is the hour for it to be done. Help us, Lord, that our hearts may humble down at that prophetic teaching of your word. And Lord Jesus, when your spirit moves, help us to move also. Lord, we need to take a step. Because now the right kind of seed is being sown, Lord. We are going to harvest, Father, the message of the hour. People who are going to have eagle eyes, Lord. Seeing very further things that are going to happen. Lord, and then warning the people. Lord, this is the hour where we are going to recycle that prophecy again. Lord, causing the people to see what has been prophesied. Lord, showing them that the hour is fast spent. Lord, may you help us therefore, that when your word therefore comes to us, Lord, help us that we may not be hearers only, but may there be an excitement in our souls, knowing that everything is under control. Whatever the devil does, Lord, there are a people that you are going to hide somewhere in a cave. Somewhere, Father, 7,000 that will be called out by this Elijah's message. Lord Jesus, we know that there is a mamba moving amongst the people. Father, even in the churches that almost believe this message, taking things and twisting them up. But Lord, when you are going to raise up the people that are going to get that mamba and time and not, Lord. Father, I pray that the people may appreciate that something has been done to save them. Lord, when we read in the book of Judges, we saw that redemption came by men. And Lord Jesus, we thank you because the seed passes through the flesh. We thank you for Brother Vin, Lord. Bless his ministry. Help him, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Many times, when God speaks, we may not know. But the hour is late. The time is far spent. Amen. If there is anything for us to do for the Lord, then this is the time for us to do it. Amen. Just when you are coming back in the evening, just keep meditating about those things. Just getting amazed, you know, how God, through the mouth of a prophet, could say those things, and then he doesn't show you the scripture for it, knowing that he's going to raise men that are going to be able to gather these things and give them to you. It's a great moment, brothers. The reason why we have these things is because we must be brought into an awareness, so that we may develop an expectation for the soon coming events. Amen. Have you been blessed? So I'm sure that our lunch will be here today. So don't you go far. Just stay around. And we are going to come back the same time like we did yesterday. Do you love him? Do you feel his presence? Do you love him? Why don't you raise up your hand and say, I love you, Lord. Amen. I love you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you very much. As we live saying, I love him because he first loved me. I love him. Because he was loved. One sister has sent a message just now, and she says she's sick, she really needs prayer. Let her come over here. While Brother Vin, I believe, is still under the same inspiration, can come and pray for the sister.
Almighty God, sometimes you deal with us in strange ways. Dear God, thou alone knowest the way that thou hast affected this sister, the things that you have caused her to see, and to see her need, and to see, dear God, that she should move now while your presence is here to receive what she has need of. I pray, dear God, as she approach you, Lord, she approach you sincerely with faith, recognizing your presence, Father, and Lord, in all humility, willing to lay aside everything that would hinder her from receiving what you have for her. Lord, may you touch her, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. May your Holy Spirit work in her life in such a way that she will never be the same again, that this would be a definite turning point in her life. It would bring her to a full surrendered life to you. And dear God, whatever she have need of, Father, through the propitiation that thou hast made for us, she will know that it is available through the Holy Spirit ministering the word and increasing her faith, lifting her up to that level, dear God, she would claim it. And dear God, that there would be a thanksgiving in her heart. Lord, as your Holy Spirit give her the witness and the blessed assurance that it is finished, that she can walk away rejoicing. May you grant it, Father. No doubt that there are many others who would have needs. We didn't ask, Lord, who had a special need. But even as they would sit in their seat, dear God, before they leave this building, if they realize that they have a special need, oh God, Father, may they look to you now. While your Holy Spirit is still here lingering to minister, to give unto us something complete. You didn't just gather us to hear a message. You didn't just gather us to go through the scriptures, Lord, and explain a lot of things. But Lord, you want us to see that you are here and you have made yourself available to us. And if we empty out as much as we empty out, it's so much we can be filled with. So Father, I pray that you just pour out your Holy Spirit into the hearts of your believing children. Keep each one in that close communion, Lord. Oh God, under the divine leadership of your Holy Spirit, we can lead us into every blessing, into victory and power, whatever we have need of, that we can receive it. For thou art the great Jehovah Jireh who will supply every need according to your riches. We pronounce a blessing upon the sister and upon thy needy people in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Do you love him? So as we live, I love him.
I love you.
Ah.